Hello, welcome to step 8 of my Love Addiction Recovery Program. What we're going to be doing in this step is that we're going to be looking at some of the causes of love addiction. So what I wanted to speak to you about today, these are just some of the causes. Please don't feel that every single cause will be down here, but you will notice or you will know or identify with some of them. Before I begin speaking about the causes of love addiction, it's very important to not move towards blame, blaming parents, blaming I'm like this because I was never loved enough, or blaming your whoever your primary caretakers were, or blame doesn't move you towards anywhere. Just watch it, observe some of these points, and what we'll do in some of the exercises that are going to go with this program is that we can begin to look at not so much forgiveness, but just by letting some of this go, to come back to self-empowerment and working on your own recovery. So these are the main causes I've noticed when I'm working in my private practice with people who suffer from love addiction. Some of the main causes is neglect, abandonment, and lack of nurturing in early childhood. As I have said in my previous steps here, is that anxious attachment or avoidant defensive behavior, or living, feeling impoverished, feeling a kind of a love hunger in your primary years, if that has been neglected in any way, this could be one of the causes for your love addiction, for all of these raw emotions and longing for and yearning for that love to be reciprocated. One of the other things can be a loss of parental figure, your primary caretaker in early childhood, perhaps through death or accident or unforeseen circumstances, you weren't able to get the love that you needed at that time. And so there's a lack of attentiveness, there's a lack of soothing as a child. There's a lack of feeling that you haven't been held enough, loved enough, mirrored enough. Parental arguments is also another one, as I've clearly said here. You know, in my practice, and this is why when I'm working with couples that are going through conflict and dispute and challenges in their relationships, one of the things that often comes up is how their disputes or conflicts is actually affecting the children. So the children begin to feel that everything is a threat, that they're not safe because mummy and daddy aren't safe. Mummy and daddy are arguing. They're in a discord with one another. They're out of alignment with one another. There's dysfunctional communication going on in mummy and daddy's life. So therefore, the child is often feels excluded or feels abandoned or feels frightened. Fear, which I haven't mentioned a lot actually in this through these steps, fear is what's at the core of everything, along with abandonment and rejection, because love addiction has a lot to do with fear, because this is hard to describe. It's almost like I can't afford to love. It's not safe to love. If I love, then that could be taken away from me. There's a risk, which of course introduces, internalizes feelings of distrust, suspicion, paranoia, stalking behavior, which I also haven't mentioned. There's this sense that you're more of an observer and stand on the outside of things rather than risking being close, because being close might mean that you could be rejected or abandoned. So when I speak about parental arguments, that also covers and introduces separation in early childhood, divorce, which I've mentioned here. And that's not to say that two people that are beginning to go their own ways or that aren't able to get on together should stay together for the children. But sometimes separation, divorce, all goes towards that kind of feeling of deprivation in early childhood. For female love addicts, the absent or emotionally unavailable father. Now, this is very interesting because I've often noticed when I'm working with women that suffer from abandonment, rejection, or love addiction, I don't spend a lot of time always moving into the past in my practice, but I have noticed that it seems absolutely key that their father was emotionally unavailable. Their father may have been shy or withdrawn, which of course isn't his fault, but there is a feeling that the father wasn't available to their little child. The father wasn't able to comfort the little child or join in games or play with the child. Or the father, particularly when little girls get to the age of 12 and 13, I've seen this a lot in my practice. Many fathers begin to withdraw from their child then when they're in that puberty or adolescent stage, as if, well, you don't need me anymore. So the father begins to withdraw, but the little girl or boy begins to feel then abandoned by the father. Or maybe the father was angry, or maybe the father was an alcoholic, or the mother was an alcoholic. So lots of things can go towards this sense of what can cause love addiction. And I just really want to focus on a couple of other key things that can cause love addiction. As I said, with the little girl, it's about the unavailable or absent father. For boys, it's often to do with the loss of the mother's warmth, or a smothering mother, or a mother that needed him too much, or a mother that was too overwhelming, or an anxious mother. That's key in love addiction with men that experience love addiction. Or maybe whoever I'm speaking to you now, maybe the man that you're with had that a particular kind of mother, and you had a particular kind of father, and you search desperately to get the love you want from your, to recreate the parental nurturing that wasn't given to you, but loving in the right way, you know, a kind of a nurturing that feels right and soothing and comforting. So there's lots of different reasons. Also, for a man that may suffer from love addiction, his mother may have had an awful lot of loss and grief when he was a small child. What this will do is that the mother has no inability at all to comfort her small child, her baby. Same goes for a little girl. And because the mother is experienced so much loss and grief or separation or by death or divorce, there's lots of different reasons, but it's often in that part of a little child's life or in early adolescence when these sorts of symptoms begin to show, and we can clearly see perhaps why we are so hungry for love. As I've mentioned here, a very, very intense sense that for some people have spoken to me, as you can see here, that they've been bullied at school. Actually, if this didn't come from some primary relationship, this can be a very significant thing that can happen to teenagers, being bullied at school. peer pressure, and feeling socially alienated, so much so that you begin to retire into a fantasy world of your own, either living with your mother or father, and experiencing that as a very small child with the arguments, no, no, and going somewhere in yourself and fabricating a fantasy life that works. Or this sense that if you're being bullied or you feel socially excluded at school or ganged up on, again, you would retire into another more beautiful, peaceful and romantic world, a world that makes you feel safe. Finally, there's just a couple more things that I want to speak about today, as I've mentioned here, and that's from this, one can start to have crushes at school from the age of 12 to 16. And this can be due to an early primal abandonment that happened in early childhood. Crushes are very significant. When I'm trying to think of an example, I had a client and she was suffering from loving too much, too needy, powerlessness, and it had been going on for years. And what actually happened is that I started to speak about her years at school between the age of 12 and 16, and she speaks to me in such a way that these crushes began at the age of 13. So you see, if you're not getting the love you want, you know, if you haven't had the love that you've needed, if you haven't been soothed enough, contained enough, mirrored enough, listened to enough, there is a kind of a romantic projection that begins to happen. And you project it onto someone that young, even at 13, it can happen, or 14, to try and recreate something that never soothed you in childhood, and that's love. And so from a state of fear, you know, because abandonment, rejection, and love addiction is fear-based. I want to say something about fear. Fear. False, begins with F. Evidence, E. Appearing, sorry, I nearly forgot the spelling then. Appearing, real. Fear equals false, evidence, appearing, real. Why do I say this? Is because rejection, abandonment, insecurity is all love addiction, jealousy is all fear-based. When the one thing, only one thing we want is to be loved and to have a very deep, honest and real and authentic connection with another person so that we feel connected and attached, healthily attached, so that we can run off and be independent, knowing that our relationship is a secure relationship. In the end, that's all we all seek, that's everything. Yet somehow, we've got lost in this fear-based attachment. I do hope you've gained something from what I've spoken about in step 9, and so that we can gradually begin to move forwards, and you're gradually beginning to gain a real sense and understanding and knowledge of just how much love addiction, insecurity, abandonment, and jealousy is fear-based. So move away from that. Take some deep breaths. Again, I want you in these, you know, after this particular step, to think about some of the things that you feared in your early childhood. and bring them into the here and now and think about how they relate to where you are now. And once again, I want you to fold your paper over and put it into your metaphoric basket that we spoke about through all the other steps. Thank you. I want you to take care, and I look forward to speaking to you again in the next step. Thank you.